The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Parkrun has become a huge non-competitive community event where you can walk, jog, run, volunteer or spectate. But is it still a level playing field when some joggers or runners turn up in €500 carbon-plated super shoes while others are in battered trainers that have seen better days? I'm joined by Joe Humphreys, Deputy News Editor at the Irish Times, who's been writing about this. Good morning, Joe.
Morning, Claire.
Do the park runners in the fancy shoes upset you?
Well, it's not so much about them. I mean, I agree with your introduction there, Parkrun. It's an inclusive event. And it's not meant to be designed to be a competitive event. So the piece was more, it's more the philosophical theme. I do a column once a week on a philosophical matter, unthinkable column. And it was really looking at how really technological innovation in sport, it changes sport by its very nature, or changes in activity. You might be aware that, I'm sure listeners are aware, that these carbon fiber shoes came into kind of public attention due to the athlete Sebastian Sauer, who won the London Marathon in under 2 hours, breaking that record. But a few years ago, these shoes were kind of regarded in athletics as cheating. I mean, a lot of runners and previous record holders said it's akin to what they call technological doping in sport. You're effectively getting an advantage over other people doing the activity, doing the competition, by reducing the amount of effort you have to put in mm-hmm. as you're going along. So and it's crept in, I suppose. Really kind of the bigger issue is not so much, I'm not out to condemn anyone who wants to buy these shoes. You want to spend €500 on the Adizeros, or indeed €300 on the Nike Alpha Flies, which are doing well. I mean, there are cheaper models of these carbon fiber shoes as well you can get. But if people want to do it, that's fine. But it's really just the question of how an innovation like this, and it's a commercially driven thing from the shoe companies have developed, that it's become normalized. And you do see them now being used, in park runs, in fun runs, in mini marathons. And it becomes almost a must have element within competition. And this is why it's called a sort of a technological doping, is uh-huh. that there's compulsion on other people to adopt the technology, even if they mightn't have wanted to adopt it initially. Yeah, there's almost a compulsion
and with the park
over time
run,
to take it on.
You're involved in a community event when you do park run. You're also sort of competing mm. against yourself, really, aren't you?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Maybe you're kind of who are you trying to impress, perhaps, if you want to look at it just from the individual point of view. I mean, people might just like to experiment with them. They might be interesting to try out. They are a different running experience. People say you're propelled forward a bit more. You're kind of bounced forward onto your stride. I mean, there's a kind of an element as well within the UK. There's been concern around Nike, in particular, advertising around park runs. So they've been putting up billboards at park runs in the UK saying things like joggers are welcome, walkers will be tolerated.
Yeah, there was a big pushback against that, wasn't there?
There was pushback against that in the UK, and people were saying, the parkrun organisers themselves were saying, look, we don't want you to be commercialising our parkruns. This is for everyone. And in fact, walkers are not just tolerated, they're welcomed. And this is open for walkers as much as it is for joggers. So, there's that in the background. And I suppose you have to wonder, why where's the market for this coming from? It's obviously a commercial operation. It partly feeds into that wider issue of what is cheating and what is not cheating, what's kind of getting an unfair advantage in sport, and there is a kind of a separate ethic in sport. It's not just meant to be a commercial professional operation, even though sport has become very professionalized. There's a kind of a thing called ungentlemanly behavior, as it used to be called, or unsporting behavior, and participants in sport, is there a kind of a notion of sporting behavior anymore? Should participants in sporting activities be trying to get an edge, using some expensive piece of technology that other people won't be able to get hold of?
Mm-hmm. So listeners are getting in touch on this, Joe, as we're chatting here. Parkrun is for everyone. That includes buggies, walkers, slow and fast runners. super shoes give marginal gains, you still have to run. So if someone wants to wear a super shoe to a park run, they're fully entitled to. I'm sure there are people there with 500 euro Gucci sunglasses, each to their own. But the sunglasses won't make you run faster. And that's your point here, isn't it? It is buying an advantage for yourself.
Yeah, again, I'm not trying to condemn any individual person who wants to do this. It's more about how, I mean, what I'm trying to draw attention to more is how, in a sense, the technology will change our kind of ethical outlook over time, in that, you know, as I say, these things were regarded as a kind of a cheat, to put it crudely, a few years ago. Now it's kind of accepted, even in athletics. There's a sort of Sebastian Coe recently, the head of international athletics, said, look, we can't turn back the clock on these technologies. And it kind of points to, you know, a trend that's there in society at large. Technologies are created and one can't put them back in the box. So we just accept them as norms in society. So again, I wouldn't be condemning kind of individual kind of runners. I think there's this is a lesson, or this is kind of illustrative of a broader issue around how technology mm-hmm. creeps in and affects our kind of outlook.
Because in the piece you talk about the enhanced games as well, which people might have heard about in Las Vegas mm. happening this month, where people will be allowed to use banned substances. I mean, it's an extraordinary thing, and some prohibited technologies as well. So are you saying that it is items like this and competitions like at the Enhanced Games that sort of opened the door that was previously closed? We had moral values in relation to all of this that prevented people from going through, and now we're in a different sort of an era here.
Yeah, well, I think this is it, because the enhanced games, it's hard to know what's necessarily wrong with that. In one level, like, people are taking drugs in this instance openly, and they're using equipment that's banned in particular. These speed suits in swimming pools are being permitted in the enhanced games, which aren't allowed in the Olympics. So, you know, you can argue, well, what's the difference between cheating with a speed suit and wearing one of the carbon fiber shoes? They're both technological enhancements that are designed to kind of give one athlete an advantage over another. I think, to be honest with you, I sport has become entangled, if you like. If you think of the traditional idea we have of the Corinthian sport in ideal, the Olympian who would compete just for on a sort of a level playing field in an amateur era, that era is gone. And I suppose a lot of the old values of sport have been eroded through professionalism. What I would argue for, and I suppose this comes back, this is the bottom line, is to question, is there something within sport that is above just a commercial operation, a purely competitive operation? And I guess there's a division between maybe the romantics in the sporting world and the hard-nosed professionals, mm-hmm. and you see that tension in all sports. I'm probably a bit more of a romantic. I probably feel technology, kind of particular, hasn't been particularly good for sports. You can look at VAR in soccer and so on. But there is a view that, look, sport is ultimately, it's just a wing of capitalism. It's about excelling, whatever field, and using whatever advantage you can get to do that, and spending whatever money you can to do that. So I think there's that tension within sport. What I would just draw attention to, I suppose, what I'm trying to kind of allude to, is that there are those values that were there in the past. This idea of being unsporting. And, you know, is there anything that's now still considered unsporting? And you can see it across sporting disciplines, people kind of getting an unfair advantage, pulling people's jerseys, tumbling over in soccer when they weren't injured, you know, trying to get the referee to get an opponent off. You've all sorts of types of behavior that you can strictly get away with, and in a win at all costs type of sporting philosophy, mm-hmm. You'd say go for it. But is there any kind of behavior we can still say is unsporting in the context? And it's kind of to think about these enhancements within that debate.
Our values may have changed. Well, Joe, there's plenty of food for thought there. Thank you very much for joining us. And I hope that you're wearing the battered 10-year-old trainers. Joe Humphreys there, who is deputy news editor at the Irish Times.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.